We're going to be turning to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Let's start in verse 1. Read through verse 8. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Well, the verse we're going to be looking at tonight is verse 7. "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." We see here that the word judgments in the scripture often refer to God's retributive acts towards men. When we think the judgment of God, and that's where he both punishes for sin, but he also rewards for well-doing. When it's meted out in his providential dealings with them. So it basically meted means weighed out when he looks at the situation. And we got to remember when he says, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." Judgments is referring to God's word here. Every verse, I believe, in this chapter, there's a word in here that's referring to God's word as commandments and testimonies and judgments and, thy law. I mean, there's just so many different words. "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." And then it deals with that. But there's so many different words here that mean are referring to God's words. So as all God's works are done in accordance to his holy word, the scriptures themselves are sometimes referred to as his judgment, as they reveal what he has done. See, we're gonna go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, this is one of my favorite passages. I got many of them, but this is one of my favorites because I learned this when I was in a short period in Christian school, when I was in high school for that short period. But this is one of the songs we learned in Psalm 19. Verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And then we go down, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." And then you go back to verse 8, "And the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." But the verse we want to look at tonight is verse 9. It says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." They're true and righteous altogether. When God judges something, or when God's doing something, he is righteous. Everything he does is true, because he is the... Pilate was asking what is truth, when Paul was telling him, Jesus, as we see in John 14:6, is that "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus is the truth. So we see that his judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And the more we get to know the Lord, we realize that is true, that everything he does is righteous. Everything he does is true. We don't have to worry about when we go to him about him being fair, because he is fair. He doesn't skip. He don't tip the scales. He has nothing to gain or nothing to lose by being himself, because nobody has any control over him. But we see here, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. See, when we see this, we think about being a reverential fear, a hatred of evil. So we when we get to know more. As it says there in verse 7 of chapter 119 of Psalms, "when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." The more we learn, the more we study, the more, should I say, not a scared fear, but a reverential fear we have for God. And then the more we closer we draw to God, the more we'll have a hatred for evil. It kind of works hand in hand. But once we get to the point where we understand God's judgments, His word, His works, we are led to praise Him for His glorious attributes that are manifested therein. We start understanding. We start seeing God for who He really is. That's why I appreciate that message that Brother Rodney had preached, talking about seeing God for who He really is. And how do we do that? By learning and studying the Scriptures, by allowing Him to show us from the Scriptures. See, God does not leave nothing to luck or chance, but everything is orchestrated, everything has a time and a place, and everything is in order. God's, as it tells us in Corinthians, that God is a God of order. Satan is the one that causes the chaos and the and all that. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9. Let's go to Isaiah 26 and verse 9. This is one of my favorite places too, because you see in chapters 26 and verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." See, we can find that peace. God will put us in that perfect peace when we're stayed upon Him, when we're focused on Him. But verse 9, it says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Why? Because God is righteous. "When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." So when we make it a point to search the Scriptures, we make it a point to have a personal relationship with the Lord, we will learn His ways. It's evident. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And if we would be diligent, as we need to be diligently, as he says there in verse 4 of Psalm 119, he says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." We need to be diligent about staying in God's word. We need to be diligent about doing what's right. We need to be diligent about getting to know Him. And we see in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, I believe it is, talk about the Bereans. Yeah. Starting in verse 10, it says, "The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." How many Christians do you know today? I mean, very few take notes, which is, it's appreciative when you do take notes because you can remember what's said. But they come with a readiness of mind. Why? Because they search the Scriptures daily. They were checking on the preacher. They were checking on him, saying, "Hey, is this what it really says?" They were diligent. They were excited about hearing God's word. They were ready to hear what God had to say to them through their preacher. So we need to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, we as God's children ought to be avid learners of the things of God. We need to be searching out the things of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved. But then we also see the Lord does not leave us to our own devices. It's kind of like a good parent or a good mom. Never, if the kids get quiet, she goes looking, because they're obviously probably up to no good in most cases. She doesn't leave them up to their own devices. Neither does the Lord leave us up to our own devices. He teaches us. But He also tells us in James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 5, very good verse. It says, "If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." See, we need to ask for wisdom. We need to ask God. It says that if we ask, He'll give it to us liberally. He gives to all men liberally. We need to be diligent about seeking the things of God. We need to be diligent about getting to know Him, about a personal relationship. We need to stay focused on Him. We also see in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21, Isaiah 30, 20 and 21, it says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto them, Get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. And in that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures." So we see that God teaches us from all different aspects. He gives us wisdom when we ask. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are our teachers. All those, or should I say, are teachers to all those that are saved, all the born-again believers. See, the Father teaches us of our need of Christ. We see that in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 45. He teaches us of our need of Christ. See, each one of them, they teach from a different perspective, but yet they're all in an agreement. Verse 45, it says, "It is written in the prophets, and that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And he says, "I am the bread of life." So the Father teaches us our need of Christ. Then coming to Christ involves believing Him, receiving Him, and then what happens? We become His disciples. And what does that mean? It means that we are a learner. We're learning about Christ. And when He tells us, when Christ teaches us, or He's trying to, it's not, He is not hard to learn after. He's not hard to teach. He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is all about giving us rest. He's all about helping us. But then He also says there in verse 29, He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why is that? Because He's taking on the load. He takes the load off us. We're to cast our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. He does that. So learning of Christ is not hard. We also see in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, it tells us that His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. "For this is the love of God," 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." God never asks us to do things that are too hard for us to do. If He asks us to do something, He enables us to do it. He gives us the strength to do it. He says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Well, there comes a point where Paul says, "I die daily." We need to die to self-desires so that we can yield to Him and allow Christ to work through us. We see also there in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, which is another good verse, chapter 2 of Galatians in verse 20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." What a blessing. I am crucified with Christ. We need to die to our own desires, our self-desires, and allow Christ to work through us. Yield ourselves to Him. Enable Him to use our vessels. We need to be vessels ready for the Master's use. His commandments are not grievous. He's not hard to learn from. See, Christ ascended and sent another comforter. We learn from the Father. We learn from Christ. But now, in John 14, we can learn from the Holy Spirit. 14 and verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you. So he teaches us as well. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And what a blessing it is when we do take the time and we put the time and effort in to learn the Scriptures and memorize the Scriptures. It says he'll bring it to our remembrance. And that happens quite often. But we need to put that time in. I wish you could put your Bible under your pillow and wake up the next morning and it's all there. I wish it would just download, but it doesn't work that way. There's work involved. We see in John 14:26, the Holy Spirit's our teacher. Then we're going to go back, not only to Psalm 34, verse 11. Not only does the Father teach us, Christ is teaching us, and the Holy Spirit teaches us. So they're all active in our lives. They're a part of our lives in all aspects. But he's also equipping his saints with wisdom and knowledge. But see, God employs numerous other teachers. Well, who are those other teachers? Well, Christ's faithful under-shepherds, the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, those Sunday school teachers, all those involved in people's lives that is teaching God's word are teaching that wisdom. So God uses other people as well to teach us. But Psalm 34 and verse 11 says, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from seeking guile. See, this is a Psalm of David. And he starts out in verse 1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That should be our desire. My soul shall make her voice to thee, Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And it says in the subtitle there, it says, a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. But then he says there in verse 5, it says, they looked unto me, unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And then he goes in and says, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And we see there, if you were to want to learn more about wisdom, he talks about in Proverbs, if you read the first couple chapters, it's talking about wisdom and bringing out there. But we also see there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. It's back up to verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known to all men. Moderation is just another word for it is gentleness. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul here is a teacher. Of course, he was an apostle. I mean, he wrote many of the books, these epistles in the New Testament. But he's talking to the Philippi, the people of Philippians, and he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard, of course, according to the Scriptures, and seen in me do, because Paul was a living example. He says, do these things. Be like Christ. I'm Christ-like, so be like what I'm doing. And the God of peace shall be with you. So he employs numerous other teachers also, which are Christ under shepherds. Sometimes, afflictions and sufferings are often more effective teachers in reviving and quickening God's children in pursuit of Him. Sometimes God allows certain things in our lives to draw us closer to Him. He'll allow troubles, sometimes health issues, sometimes the loss of a family member, maybe a child if the parents are wayward. I've heard of that. Maybe there's something else going on that He allows. But He allows these things to bring them back to the point of focusing on Himself. See, He allows these things to happen so they'll start pursuing Him. And it brings understanding that they need, the understanding that they'll need in the midst of these trials. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. We're going to restart in verse 5. It says, so also Christ glorified not Himself to be made a high priest, but He that said unto Him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten Thee. And as He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared. Though he were a son, yet learned He obedience by what? By the things which He suffered. He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So sometimes God allows suffering to bring us to the point of getting us to focus on Him, to allowing us. He allows affliction in our life to bring us back to focus on Him. See, alongside the teacher, godly habits, godly disciplines that are studiously maintained will, with God's blessing, increase our knowledge of the truth. See, living right, doing right, helps us in our pursuit of truth, leading us to heartfelt praise. We see this in Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us, and the third He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Then he goes on in verse 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed thee, them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Does that sound familiar? Back in 1 Samuel, obedience is better than sacrifice. God has no interest in anything we have to offer. Nothing, if we're not living obedient lives. That's why I said, alongside the teacher being taught, but godly habits and disciplines studiously maintained with God's blessing, increase our knowledge of the truth. We need to live right. God's going to reveal His truth to us. He's going to give us the understanding we need, more so when we're being obedient to Him. We can't expect anything. Because He says, the good thing is if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to confess our sins, and then it says He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And He'll bring us back into fellowship with Himself. So who will not praise Him at such a time? When we're brought to that point where God, it says, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will praise Thee with an uprightness of heart. When we've learned and understand and we get a better understanding of who God is, and we're living obedient lives, and we're doing what God would have us to do, who will not praise Him at such a time? But He says there in Psalm 119, verse 7, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. See, we see there in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, He says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. He also says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, and I'm almost through, Matthew 9 and verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But sinners to repentance. Then He says something similar to that, as we see there in verse 13 in chapter 12 of Matthew and verse 7. Chapter 12 and verse 7, just a couple pages over. He says, but if ye have known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. We're not going to go back and look at that. But it's talking about David when he was running from Saul, and he had the men with him, and they come into, and they were hungered, and they came into, and the only thing they had there was the showbread of God. And they allowed him to eat. As you see there in verse 3 and 4, it says, but he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. And have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. See, obedience is better than sacrifice. Or to obey is better than sacrifice. God is more interested in our obedience than He is anything we have to offer if we're not right with Him. And that's something we've got to realize. But in Psalm 119, verse 7, He says, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're diligent about learning about God and learning more of Him, we're going to praise Him for His righteous judgments. We're going to praise Him for what He does. We're going to have a hatred for sin and wickedness, which is going on around us. We're just thankful for what the Scripture tells us here. So, obedience is better than sacrifice. Let's pray.